Well, good morning, church, and welcome. Well, this morning we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, Easter Sunday. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. And I believe it is the great hope of every child of God, not only for the next life, but for us here and now. And I know most of us here, well, if you're a child of God, we believe and we understand that someday when we give up this earth life or we leave this earth and it's over, we will experience, we kind of have this idea of the resurrection, whatever that might really be. And but honestly, most of us still feel like as long as we're in this flesh body and on this earth, we're still bound by this natural world. And we know that this resurrection is going to be glorious. We don't know exactly how it's going to be, but we all have, I'm sure, pictures of it in our mind, and we use our imagination. But for the most part, right now, we are still bound by the natural forces in this world. And that's what I want to deal with today. Now, today, I want you to, first of all, know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ should if you believe it, should dramatically be affecting your earth life. More than anything, it should be affecting your earth life. And because the resurrection of Christ has truly set us free from all of the curses of this world. Now, most of us don't live that way. We don't see it that way. We don't perceive it. And we know how you perceive things is what you live. It's you know, it's about believing right. You will live right. You will have right. You will do right. But because we perceive things a little bit off, we don't experience the things that God wants us to really experience. Because everything that God wants and has for us and has given us freely is all attained by our faith. And so if you see things differently or you perceive things differently, you can't have faith for something you can't perceive, right? So that's what I want to do this morning. I want to just kind of maybe show us a little bit more and show us that this resurrection life or the resurrection of Jesus Christ has dramatically or should dramatically change our life here on the earth. Now, I know for most of us, that's really, really difficult for us to believe that Jesus at his resurrection has completely set us free from all of the curses in this world. And there's lots of them. And there's curses that we don't even know about, you know, or that we don't even see as curses. So we know that Jesus at the cross, when he was risen from the dead, set us free. And I know that's hard for us to really believe. Why? Because most of us, if not all of us, are still experiencing to some extent in our own lives the curse. It's true. Me, you, all of us have something going on that we know is not a blessing. It's a curse. And in one way or another, but the truth of God's word says we are free. And this morning I want us to turn and start, let's begin in the book of Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4. Now, the argument I want to bring out, first of all, is in the book of Acts, we know that this was after the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension. This is after Jesus has gone back to heaven. Now, the apostles were sent forth by Jesus. He said, you go into all the world, you preach the gospel, and you be my witnesses. How many of us know we're all called to be witnesses? But sometimes we don't really understand what are we bearing witness to? And in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 33, it tells us what the apostles bared witness to, and we are to bear witness to the same thing. So it says here, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. It's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. So we are to give witness to his resurrection. That's one of the keys to walking in his grace, to having an abundance of grace. Give witness. How in the world are you going to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? My point is this, The apostles themselves, they understood what the resurrection meant to them and what it had done for them. Then in Acts chapter 5, if you just flip over a couple of books from there, verses 30, 31, and 32, it says this: "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted to his right hand, a prince and a savior, to give forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things." If you are a child of God sitting here today, you are called to be a living witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that now we are new creations with a one calling. We are called to be witnesses to his resurrection. How in the world are we going to do that? The word witness in Acts chapter 4, verse 33 that we just read previously, the word witness, what does anybody know what the word witness means? When you have a witness on a stand in the natural, in a court, that witness, you call on witnesses to present what? Evidence. So the word witness actually means evidential. Okay? So you are called to be witnesses. You are called to give evidence to the resurrection of Jesus. Now, if the resurrection is only for the future, like Martha and Mary when Jesus came and Lazarus has passed away, and of course Martha says, "Oh Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Well, don't you believe that I am? Oh, yes, someday we're going to be resurrected." You see, that's how we see the resurrection. Someday I'm going to be resurrected. And Jesus said, "Don't you know that I am the resurrection?" In other words, it's now. And so if we're called to present evidence of the resurrection in our lives, how in the world are we going to do that if the resurrection for us is only future and Jesus is gone? And Jesus is gone. So we need to realize that your calling is to be the evidence, or your life is to evidence the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus' resurrection has not affected our physical life, there's no physical evidence. And the world has not got spiritual ears to hear. They need physical evidence. Just like the apostles in the early church, they had physical evidence. One of the first things they witnessed was, well, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was that man at the gate, beautiful, Peter and John. He was lame for 38 years, and, you know, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk." The man leapt up and was praising God and rejoicing and followed them into the church. That was a witness. That was evidence that Jesus Christ was alive. He was risen from the dead. Now, Jesus is not here in the flesh, but we are. Even as Jesus came down from heaven to give evidence that the Father was real, that the Father was love, so we too have been called to be the evidence for Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says this: "We are buried with him in baptism." Colossians 2:12, "Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead." We have been raised with him. Jesus took our place in death. He died our death. We know that. He suffered all the penalties of every sin. Not one was missed. Not one. He never stopped until he was finished. And we, the Bible says, also have died in him. He took our place. He did all the suffering, but we were in him. It's as if you died. And when Jesus arose, it tells us you were raised up in him to a new life. And even though this physical body never changed at that moment when you first believed, you must understand that on the inside, your spirit man, the real you, has been resurrected into life. His resurrection lives in you. Okay? Yes, we're waiting for this body. Praise God, it's going to be resurrected. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more grateful I am for that. You know, this body is going to be resurrected. But you, the real you on the inside, is already resurrected. And that's such a great thing. As we continue on this morning, you're going to see how wonderful that is. And it should change the way you live. It should even change your physical body. So, in your spirits, the resurrection life abides. And you and I are no longer bound to the natural forces of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world like we used to be. And I think we see that through darkly. We are so dim, dull when we read these kinds of scriptures. Because if we really got it, we'd be having a party in here this morning. We'd be jumping around and, you know, I didn't bring the balloons and the noisemakers, but we're so dim, we see so dimly. So we are no longer bound to the natural forces. What do I mean by the natural forces of this world? Well, the natural process of things. You know, everything I told you before, everything's on its way out. If you can see it, you know it's not going to last. It's just temporal. But what you can't see is eternal. And the Bible says that we have this eternal life. Now, we think of eternal life, the word eternal, as living forever. That is such a small part of what the word eternal really means. Eternal doesn't just mean quantity. It means quality, okay? So eternal, yes, we're going to live forever. But it's the quality of life. And that eternal life already is within you. That quality of life is already abiding within you. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus. So how is it that you say, through the spirit of life that is in us, we have eternal life? We have resurrection life already. And this is our calling. I want to prove that first before I go into wherever else I want to go here this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippi. And in chapter 3, reading verses 10, 11, and 12, and also 14, Paul says, "My purpose is that I may know him and the power that outflows from his resurrection, which exerts itself over believers, that if possible, I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, even while I'm in the body." That is added in the Amplified. I love the Amplified. I didn't write it down because I knew we were bringing this one up. "But even while I'm in the body, that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." Verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or was made perfect, but I follow after Jesus." Now drop down to verse 14. "And I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What is this high calling? That we bear witness in our lives to the resurrection of Jesus. There's no higher calling than that. Romans 4:25 says, "Jesus was delivered up for our sins." In other words, he died for our sins. "But he was raised again for our righteousness, our justification." Then in Romans chapter 8, so what has that got to do with where I'm going this morning? Jesus gave up his life, he died for our sins, but he was raised, resurrected for your righteousness. If Jesus is not raised, you are yet in your sin, the Bible says. But because he was raised, you are now raised in him, as he is, so are we, and you are now the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it says this, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is life." Why? Because of righteousness. Your spirit is life. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the grave," from the dead, "shall also quicken." The word quicken means bring back to life your mortal. What is your mortal? Your flesh. Your flesh bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. So even though our physical bodies have not been resurrected, we have resurrection life on the inside of us, and it's up to each one of us to use that resurrection life. It'll just sit there and do nothing if you do not tap into it, if you do not believe you have it, and begin to use it. Begin to use it in your bodies, in your life. Now I'm going to get in more a little into this power that we have on the inside of us, because none of us knows what this power is. So the spirit of resurrection life now dwells on the inside of each one of us. And this spirit of life that dwells inside of us, he bears witness to the resurrection and the truth about Jesus Christ, even in your body, even in your jobs, your finances, whatever area you release this life. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And it says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of Jesus Christ. You know, so many people think, oh, we got to believe that Jesus died on the sins for our, or died on the cross for our sins. But actually, it's the resurrection you need to believe. He died for our sins. If he died for our sins while we were sinners, in other words, we did nothing to deserve his sacrifice. I mean, he suffered. And I mean, while we did not deserve it, can you imagine putting your son to death for someone who does not deserve to be saved, someone who's evil right to the core? And yet God did that. And if he did that, it says much more now that we are reconciled. In other words, we've been washed, our sins have been washed away, we've been brought back to God. Much more, we shall be saved by his life. What life is that? Resurrection life. We shall be sozoed. The word saved is sozoed. And it actually means to be delivered, to be protected, to be healed, be preserved, to be made well, to be kept safe, and to be made whole. We shall be quickened, brought to life by his resurrection life. Wow. We shall be brought back to life. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going through lots of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 1, in Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus, he prays in verses 18, 19, and 20. I didn't write that one down. 18, 19, and 20. He prays that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know the hope to which we've been called. You see, the hope of your calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is, verse 19, this is the verse I want to key in on, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he brought about when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power, my point is this, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Anybody here really believe that? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. No wonder we ought to rejoice on Resurrection Sunday. That power is in you. We're going to talk a little bit about that power. And maybe I'm going to bring it out in a way maybe where it'll help you to understand what you have. Because sometimes when we can't connect with a visual or a picture or it's really hard to understand what we've got and how it's used. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us for all of us to use. You don't have a greater measure than I do, Santana, neither do you. The greatness of that power in our lives is going to be dependent on you and how much you believe it and how much you tap into it and use it. So what is this power? Let's talk about that for a while. When Jesus was crucified, he died first, right? And we know that Joseph, a man named Joseph of, I wish I would have wrote his name down. I can't pronounce it. It starts with an A, Arimathaeus or something. He went to Pilate and requested the body. Now, in the scriptures, it tells us that he was very rich, right? And he wrapped the body in linen. Now, this linen was very, very expensive. Okay, linen. It was the same linen as the high priests were commanded to use when they went into the Holy of Holies. So you know it's the best. It's the best fabric out there. Very expensive. And we know that he was wrapped in these linen cloths and laid in the tomb of this man, because he had that tomb actually, I believe, built for himself. And he decided, he obviously was a believer. He was actually from the Sanhedrin, but he was a believer. And he took Jesus' body down and he wrapped it. And that was the custom of the day, to wrap it in linen. Okay, and we know that when Jesus rose from the dead, Peter and John, when they were told that the stone was rolled away, I believe it was by Mary, they ran to the tomb and they knelt down and they looked in. What did they see? They saw, it says, the linen cloth that was laying there, completely laying there. It hadn't moved, yet Jesus was gone. We also know and have heard that that linen cloth is still in the world today. And it has the very imprint of the body of Jesus. Now, there has been scientists that have studied this cloth for years and years and years. And they know, and the reason they believe it is the cloth is because there's no obvious sign of any paint being used, any dyes, any stains. They cannot figure out how the imprint of a man, and this imprint, by the way, matches exactly with the body of Jesus as they laid him, all the scourging, even the hands, the prints, and then the marks. The blood, was the nail did not go through this part of the hand. The nail went through this part of the hand, because here it would just rip out. And it's all there. And the only thing that they could come up with was it was a blast of light. You know, listen carefully. This mystery, the only thing they can come up with was it was like an explosion of light. Now, when I heard that, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, all of a sudden, many, many things started taking place in my brain. Many scriptures started to flood in, and I thought, this definitely bears witness with God's word. Light. It was a blast or an explosion of light, like dynamite exploding. Mark 9, 2 and 3. How does this bear witness to scripture? It says, Jesus was transfigured on the mount. Transfigured on the mount. His raiment, we know. Remember when Peter and John, he called Peter and John and James, and he went up on the mountain, and all of a sudden Jesus just was transfigured. He became bright. It says brighter than anything they had ever seen. His raiment became exceedingly white. White as snow, the Bible tells us in Mark 9:23. Speaking of light, do you remember Paul on his way to Damascus to murder and plunder all kinds of Christians? He was against them. What happened to Paul? A bright light just flashed suddenly. He was thrown off of his chariot or his horse or whatever. And it was so bright it blinded him. He was blind for days from this light. And he knew instantly when that light hit him, he said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. So here again, you see the light. Okay? The light. We know that in James chapter 1, I believe, we know that all and every good thing comes down from the Father of what? Lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The Father of lights. Jesus called himself the light of the world. And remember, Jesus also called you the light of the world. Why? Because of the life that is in us. Did you know? Let's go back to the transfiguration. Did you know that the word transfigured, Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes? Remember that? That was a big thing. That was a big deal. And they saw him in all of his glory. He was transfigured in his light. He was just full of light. And did you know that the word transfigured is the same word that we use in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, where it tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Same word, transfigured, by the same light. How is it? Will you be transformed by the renewing of your mind? How do you renew your mind? By the word of God. This is that resurrection light. Resurrection. I believe that light that we're talking about here is resurrection life. And when you get a hold of that, you realize it's light. That's why the Bible says, shine. Don't hide your light, shine. You don't put a light under the bed, but you let it shine. You want it to be evidenced by others. The light, resurrection life. So God's word is light, and it is power. It is light, just like in the natural. I mean, I could go on and on and on. You plant a seed in the ground. We call the word of God the incorruptible seed. In the natural, you take a natural seed, you put it in the ground without any sunlight. Guess what? It isn't going to grow. It isn't going to produce. And it's the same with God's word. You place that incorruptible seed. When you get it into your heart and you start watering it with light, which is God's word, it begins to grow and produces a tremendous harvest. Jesus also said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We often wonder, what is this power? You know, and if you look up the word power in the Greek, which it's, of course, this is written in the New Covenant, the New Testament, so it would be a Greek word. It is actually the word dunamis. What is the word dunamis? Dynamite, explosion. So that same power that exploded and Jesus rose out of that tomb is in you. It's on you. That power is dynamite power. It is the same that raised Jesus from the dead. A blast or an explosion of light. Look at the anointing oil. There are three presses to make oil. And it was mainly olive oil in the old, well, it was olive oil in the old covenant. What was the first press used for? The main press was used for the lighting of the lantern, of the lamps, bringing light. So when we anoint each other with oil, what are you anointing with? What's happening? It's the light of life. It's life that you're anointing with. You're being lit up. Remember, the Bible says, even when you pray in the Spirit, you're fanning into flame. You're lighting yourself up. Maybe we should go around exploding ourselves. Let's go bring explosions. But it's a good way to look at it. That's what you have. And we're not aware of it. And wherever we go, we're brilliant. No wonder the devil flees. I mean, we're just lit up. Because of the spirit of life, that resurrection power that's in us. You need to see yourself that way. So that when the enemy does come, you know, as long as you're not aware of it, he can sneak around and creep around. As long as you're not aware of it and you turn around and you look at him and you speak. Because that's what releases this explosion, is your words. And you need to release that light in you, that life that's in you. It's not you. It's the Spirit of God. I mean, look at God. Remember when he made the heavens and the earth? What was the first thing he said? Light be. Now, we know he wasn't talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars because he created that 3 days later or 2 days later, whatever. We know it was when he said light be, it's like, okay, what was he talking about? Because then he created the sun. That wasn't the sun, the light. It's the natural light. But light in, I believe, in the eyes of God, is life. Life be. And so it's a good way to see this resurrection power that we have. It is the light. And we can see the connection. If you start to look for it in the scriptures, it's everywhere. How could we not have seen that? How many times have we heard people say when they pass from their body, they saw a light? That was the first thing they see, is this light. Well, it's life. God's light is God's life. And we see it as light, but it's actually life. There are so many areas in the Bible where we can see that what we have is a tremendous light. And Isaiah 60, verse 1, tells us to arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the Gentiles will come to thy light, and kings meaning leaders, to the brightness of your rising. So it's up to you to rise up and to let that light shine. Know that you have tremendous power available through this, through the resurrection of Jesus. It ought to change our lives. We are to bear witness. We are in the light even as is he is in the light, the Bible tells us. You're in that power. In the spirit, you've been transfigured, transformed. You're as white as Jesus was on that Mount of Transfiguration. And you are shining just as brightly. And of course, this body hides it. And furthermore, there again, the light is seen when it talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says that if they are blind to the gospel, they're blinded by the enemy, lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel. You see, the power of God is God's word. It is light. That word brings light into our lives. He is light. And in that light is life. Life eternal. You have it. So let's celebrate today. Let's rejoice that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And we are now children of light. 1 Peter chapter 2, in closing, verse 9 says this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, that you and I are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The word peculiar, we've studied at Bible study lots, it actually just means special, a very special people. That we should show forth, show is demonstrate forth, the praises of him who has called us out of darkness, where? Into his marvelous light. Let your light shine. Know that you have the light in you. And light, the Bible says, always dispels darkness. Wherever the devil is at work, wherever there's a curse going on, you have the light in you. That's why we are to lay hands on the sick. That light, that life that is so powerful, it just dispels all darkness. But you got to believe it. You got to do it in faith. And see the light coming through your fingers when you lay hands. It's not your light. It's coming from within. When you lay hands on sick people, see it, guys. See that. Or when you anoint someone with oil, you're lighting that light on the inside. You're lighting the fire. And all evil, all sickness, you can't stand under that light. Darkness has to flee. We know that even in the natural. If it's dark in here and you turn on one little light, the darkness has to go. And so wherever you go, remember, you're shining. And so be ready and prepared, and especially as we walk through these dark days, gross darkness is going to cover the earth. We can see darkness already today. We're in those days. And God wants you to shine. God wants you to release the life of the Spirit of life in you to others, and to be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, you would still be in the dark. You'd still be in your sin. There would be no life. But because you were raised in him, you have the same light in you, on the inside of you. Your spirit is now light. And so going forward, let's rejoice in that light. Let's see it. Let's use it. Ponder it. Meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you really have. on the inside of you. Because I believe God's children just don't know. Arise, shine. The light has come. It's in you. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And the people will run, will come running to the brightness of your rising. They will see the evidence of the resurrection in you. And that's our biggest calling. And so today, as we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we do rejoice in that, in what Jesus has done for us. And the death, yes, was a terrible thing, but without it, we could never have been resurrected. Without dying, there is no resurrection. Amen. And so Jesus took our place. So let's close with communion this morning.